Good morning.
Wow, that's loud.
It's good to be here and good to have Pastor Lazaro here. It was 30 years ago this month, probably almost to the day, when Nancy and I first headed to Tanzania. We said we'd go for 2 years and see what happened. We're still waiting to see what happens. But we were told we needed to be there before Christmas, and then we found out we didn't, but we left behind our 8 daughters and their families, 16 grandkids at the time, and that's pretty tough, especially on a grandma. But God's been good. And we worked with another missionary there, and his name was Granger Angel. Maybe you remember him. Somebody said to me, "Well, why did you go to Tanzania?" And I said, "I got a letter from an angel," which we did, inviting us there. But worked there in a church, and after we'd gone to language school and helping out. In fact, I filled in as a pastor for about 6-7 months. And in that church, it was a young man. He was a worker in a home. And he'd bring these 2 or 3 little boys every Sunday. And I remember every service, it was a ritual. Pray for the mom and dad of these boys. The dad is here today, Lazaro. And that young man is a pastor these days in another organization. God's good. But Granger had a vision for a Bible school there. The pastors had small churches, and most of them had really no training. And literally, I remember seeing some pastors look in the index to find the books of the Bible. And that's pretty tough, you know. Often they could get them saved, but they had nothing to feed them afterwards. And so often they'd move on to another church. But Granger had this vision, and in that first 2 years, we began to feel challenged. And especially my wife, she kept saying, "You know, we need to start a school. We need to start a school." So she kept pricking me. And so we got an okay from the leadership over there to go ahead and see what we could do. And we come, and by accident one day I was up at Elam Bible Institute, and here's the president of the school walking down through, and I stopped to see him, greet him, and just share a little bit about what was going on. And he said, "I think that we could maybe raise some money in our annual missions conference to help you out." And so they did that, I don't know, $11,000, $12,000. And that really got us going. And another missionary over in Moshi had bought some property to put a church on, and that was big enough to put the school on. All three of these men, plus Nancy and I, were there for the 25th anniversary of that school. It was, and you know, looking back, things look a lot different than when you're going through it. And it was just a blessing to see how God just brought everything together. Pastor Lazaro has—he got to travel with me some over there. He's the only Tanzanian ever to drive my vehicle. I was in the other seat praying and fasting. But he had lived in the States for about a year, and driven here. So I figured, well, he's okay. I was tired. We were traveling across someplace where there were no roads, but we were up to way north of the Serengeti, close to the Kenya border. But through the years, our fellowship has expanded, And when I'd heard that he had become the principal of the school there, we were thankful for it. We were in Tanzania. We lived where, I think, Bosnia at the time. We opened the school in 1992 with about 12 students. I think 11 of them were pastors and one elder. And so Pastor Lazaro and his wife, they've been in our home a number of times, and we've been in their home, and we've just been blessed to have the fellowship with them through the years. He's going to come and share a little bit what's on his heart and tell you a little more about what is the results of the school. You know, it's one thing to invest. The other thing is, what are the results? And so he's going to come and share with you. Pastor Lazaro.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here to meet some friends and some of the guys who came to Tanzania. First of all, I bring you greetings from my wife. She was supposed to be here, but God has blessed us with a second granddaughter. So she wants to be with them for some time. It's across the country to the western part, near Lake Tanganyika. And it was just a few days before I was supposed to come here. So I thank God for being here. And also, I bring greetings from the KCC, Kilimanjaro Christian College community. He sends lots of greetings. Pastor Phil has been a tremendous man. He's a very good teacher. I mean, we have been enjoying his lectures. I myself, his preachings. He's just a great guy. Thank you for Dr. Scott and Bob and Kelly. They came there and they were a blessing to us. We still remember your visit. Come again. It's a great joy to be at GFC, Grace Fellowship Church. I've been hearing about Grace Fellowship, and Grace Fellowship has been a blessing to our ministry there. In fact, you've been a blessing to the school. We have been doing a lot now in improving the environment, the learning environment there, just to make sure that the pastors get the right thing for the ministries. And not only that, but Grace Fellowship has also been a channel for other churches to pass their gift and support through them. I remember Nikki has been a blessing to me. Every time he writes to me and reminds me of thanking those people. So thank you very much, Nikki, wherever you are. the school has been there as my grandpa, you know. When you are talking before or in front of your grandpa, you have to behave, because I think he can easily roar and say, yeah. Thank you. Yes, he's Babu Simba, grandfather lion, or lion grandfather. So we've been there now for quite a long time, since then, 1992, and we had just had our 25th Silver Jubilee. 25 years of our Silver Jubilee was in May. And we thank God, because from 12 students, we've now trained more than 300 pastors and leaders. And we started with only one program and with only one denomination. When we started with the 12 pastors, the 12 students, with 11 pastors and one elder, we were only PEFA, Pentecostal Evangelistic Fellowship of Africa. But we ended up in having pastors and leaders from other churches. One time we had more then 13 denomination, different denominations coming there. And we had 22 ethnic groups being trained there at the school. And the 300 plus people, pastors and leaders, have really improved their ministries. Some of them have gone from being just a little small church into planting even other churches. One of the students has now planted, I think, more than 400 churches in the country. So you can see the impact of the school. And not only that, some of them have even gone, produced missionaries, local missionaries, who can reach other and reach groups like we have Muslims and other groups that the gospel has not reached. So the impact has been great. And most of this, because now we have, from the diploma program, we now have the bachelor's program in pastoral studies, and then we have a master's program in Christian leadership. Most of the top organization or denominational leaders have come there, and they've improved their training, and now they're doing a good job in their denominations. So this is a great impact for us, and for me, it has encouraged me, because actually the first time I was there, and he is the one who has encouraged me to continue to stay, because I see him, going to Bosnia, and I say, Bosnia and all these dangerous places, and I say, who am I? Let me stick on. So I've been there for now more than 20 years now. And God has been using us to teach these people, and also we've seen them even, some of them improving even in their spiritual growth, because we've seen marriages also being rescued from, our cultures there have really made women, just low grade. So we have seen now women coming. There are even some of them now who are pastors. And we have many women now want to come to Bible school. And this will be our next project after the one we have. We have a wall project. We're trying to improve the security there, because the Muslims are coming up. They're training the people. And we need to really also protect the property. So our next project will be building a women's dorm, so that they can come and train and be able to minister. I know women can be very good ministers, because I have one who is working hand in hand with me, and she has been a blessing. Praise the Lord. So thank you very much for being with us, and I hope most of you will like to come there. You're all welcome. Come anytime. Praise the Lord. So I have a message from the Lord. But before I go to the message, this last night I was just meditating. And what made me meditate? On Christmas. And I've been going around during nighttime. It's very beautiful. There's a lot of, decoration and sound, and you can learn it's Christmas. With us, you don't learn that it's Christmas until maybe 2 days or 1 day before. But here you can see everywhere you go. And I was thinking, Lord, thank you for these people. They know how to celebrate Christmas. But then I just thought in my heart, do they really know what is Christmas? You see, we may be bogged up with the, celebrations and whatever, decorations, but forget about the main thing of the main thing. Because Christmas is really, and I thank you very much. I never knew that Phil can really do it. Yes. Yeah, I enjoyed the music, and not the music, but the words. So Christmas should really remind us of the main thing. If it was not Christmas, we shouldn't have been here in the first place. Christmas brought all this because the Son came, gave himself for us, and this is the main thing. So when you are celebrating Christmas, actually I was indebted. Find out that sometimes I think about Christmas in a different way. But then I came to realize that it's not only a Christmas celebration, a celebration of my salvation. Praise the Lord. And today's message comes from 2 Timothy verses 4, well, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Praise the Lord. I was meditating on this, and I just felt myself taking a position of Paul. Paul regarded life as a battle, a race, sometimes at the test of the battle. But the bottom line of this is that he achieved victory. He achieved victory. The past with many duties has been completed. The present was secure for Paul in faith, and the future promises rewards. Praise the Lord. Now, when I was reading this, I remembered I once was an athlete. And then I remembered that, okay, there were some rules. When you are an athlete, there are some rules to observe in order to win. One of the rules is to know where to start. And you have to listen to the instructions. And you have to follow. You know, when we were athletes by that time, we didn't have this long marathons where you run around, you run maybe from here to, I don't know, maybe to Warren, or from here to Erie and come back. We were running around the track. And running around the track, you have to observe. You have to go follow your line. The start is not a problem. You can start. But you may end up in not finishing well because you didn't follow the instructions. And we're in a race because we've been, as I said, Christmas is about our salvation. We start our race right when we are born again. And we have to run the race well so that we can at last reach the finish line. We have had hardships, we have worries, we have trials through the life. But the Bible says, "But she who endures to the end shall be saved." So there is endurance required for us. I have to endure in order to get to the finish line. And this is very important. The word endurance implies hold one's ground. That means you stand firm. In conflict, you stand firm. Bear up against adversity. Stand firm. Persevere under pressure. Or hold out under stress. We are always stressed. I don't know about you, but I'm sometimes stressed. I'm sometimes, you know, hard up. I sometimes feel, you know, I feel like I cannot go anymore. But endurance and perseverance makes me look upon him and say, Lord, I'm here. And you know, it's good because I know wherever I cannot go, he is there. I was reading a book, which is, I don't know, some of you might have read, but the title of the book is Footprints. And one of the things that you learn in that book is about a guy who was walking. He was walking, and he was seeing somebody else's footsteps, footprints. And so he goes, and then when he came to a hill or mountain, he only saw one set of footprints. And then when he reached the top of the hill, started coming down, he saw two sets of footprints. And he was asking himself, what is all this? And you know, the Lord spoke to him and said, when we were going on flat ground, I was just walking beside you. And when we reached the bottom of the mountain, I knew you cannot climb, so I carried you. You are seeing my footprints. And we reached at the top, coming down. We were coming together because I knew you can come down. Praise the Lord. So, when we are worried, when we are tired, when we cannot do anything about anything, we have our Lord ready to raise up, to pick us up and take us to the next step. I remember Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:21, he used to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. As we walk in faith, we must learn to see our present circumstances in light of the future promises of God. That can give us more encouragement to go on. Because you know, these are just temporary. We know that one day we will be away from this earth. But God is waiting to receive us. All of us are works in progress. God is still working in us, you know, making us better and better. So long as we continue to trust him and let him do what he wants to do in our lives, we will definitely finish our race well. We can endure sufferings now, which is momentary, compared to the eternity where we'll be with him forever and ever. Be content in every circumstance now, knowing that we'll have all of God's riches in glory. In Philippians 4:19, he says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We have to walk by faith, setting our eyes on Jesus until we see him face to face. This is very important to us. We must make sure we don't take off our eyes off from always focusing our eyes on him. We must seek to live daily on earth for the purpose of glory of our Lord Jesus. Live for his glory. In 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, Apostle Paul talks about striving for a crown. Striving for a crown. Remember, our journey, you know, we started our journey, but we remember the end of the journey. He says, run a race so that you obtain a crown, more so an imperishable crown. Run with certainty. Jesus is your strength. In order to achieve this, we must discipline our bodies and bring them into subjection. See, our bodies are one of our great enemies. It takes us away, you know. Our bodies want to sleep every time. Some of us even, maybe there are some who didn't come to church today because there's snow. It's cold. Our bodies say, no, it's cold, stay. So our bodies, and if we don't subject our bodies, we may find our bodies taking us astray and we miss the mark. Believers must and should practice self-denial and self-control, even in matters that are morally indifferent. We as believers, we should, self-denial and self-control must be one of our exercises. Normally, athletes who break the rules are disqualified, but those who keep the rules and persevere to the end are rewarded. Praise the Lord. Let me give you one testimony. Around 1968, if I remember very well, there was Olympic Games in Mexico. And one of Tanzanians known as John Stephen Akware went to these Olympics. And he ran, and before he could finish, and then he had about two rounds or so to finish, he hurt himself. He just dropped in and, you know, hurt himself. And he had, you know, injuries, and blood was seeping. And he woke up and continued to run. He continued to run until he came to finish. When he was in the last round, all the people in the field, they stood to cheer him up. And, you know, he went to the finish line. But, you know, as always, reporters, they go there to find news. And, you know, they went and asked him, why did you do this? You were injured. You should have just gone for first aid or something, a treatment. And he said to them, my country didn't send me to start the race. My country sent me to finish the race. Praise the Lord. I learned something from that. You know, you can be injured on the way. Don't lose hope. Keep on keeping on. So some people just, you know, they are just annoyed by somebody and say, I'm no longer going to that church, you know. That's part of life. If you are injured, continue until you finish the race. What about what is happening to you? Worry about what will happen, you know? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, the Apostle Paul instructs us on focus attention on affection and spiritual things that are eternal than temporal things. Sometimes we deal with, there's a lot of temporal things that we deal, we give a lot of effort, a lot of time. But there are things that are more important, the spiritual things. You know, Jesus has completely secured our salvation. In him, we lack nothing. We've been made holy through his death on the cross. Our sinful nature died. And now our lives are hidden in him. So, if that is the case, we need to continue to appreciate what Jesus did more than 2,000 years ago. He paid a price for us. Let us turn away from legalism that is an appearance of wisdom but powerless and can add nothing to the completed work of Christ, the work of salvation. In closing, I wanted to emphasize the following points to help towards finishing the race and obtaining the crown. If you have not, you cannot remember anything I said, remember this point. Number one, God loves it when we do what he wants us to do and loves us for who we are. So obedience is vital. We must be obedient to his word. Number two, finding God's will should be satisfying and not frustrating. Know that his will, know what is his will, and do it. One of the things that Jesus has been talking about every time is doing his Father's will. And we who are followers of Jesus should always do his will, God's will. Tough times won't break you, but will make you. You know, I always consider challenges as opportunities. You know, say I face a challenge. I take my time, pray to God, and something, God just brings something, solution. So, if we come into tough times, we shouldn't just say, okay, now this is, I'm in problem, so let me just stay here with my problem. No, God is there for you. Praise the Lord. God does not design hardship to make you fall flat, but to bring you to your knees. Sometimes we forget. You know, it's always good. Sometimes we just, when we are happy and everything is going good, then you just feel like, okay, you don't even feel anything. But when it comes to tough times, that's when you say, okay, let me go to my knees and pray. The kind of person you are is a matter of your character, not your circumstances. God cares more about your character than anything else. Doesn't matter whether you have qualifications, whether you have whatever. What matters to God is your character. Is your character Christ-like? If it is, then God is a friend. The thing is, maintain your place in Christ. Do away from your old address. You see, some of us, sometimes you feel like, you know, going to where you belonged. But that is not what is required. Whilst we are in Christ, we should maintain our place in Christ. Praise the Lord. And never, never go out of that place. The last one is sharpen your cutting edge time to time. You can do more for Christ. Praise the Lord. Let me give you a testimony. There was a competition of cutting, where is my friend? Yeah, I know, cutting trees. So there was a competition, and two people were supposed to go into that competition. So one young man said, okay, I'm coming, I will be one of them. And then an old guy said, and I'm going to be one of them as well. So this young man looked at this guy, this old man, and said, are you sure? He said, I'm sure. Are you sure? I'm sure. Are you going to win? I don't know, but I'm sure. So they started a competition. Everybody with an axe, you know, then he started cutting. So the young man, full of energy, cut the first tree. And this man just went on cutting the other tree. So while he was in the second tree, The old man was still in the first tree. When he finished, when he fell the first tree, he went and sharpened his axe. So this guy went to a second, and then when he was in the third, the old man was in the second, but every time he fell a tree, he comes back and sharpens the axe. So when the young man reached the third tree, blisters, you know, the axe was blunt. So he went on. And this man continued. Cut another tree, the third tree, sharpened. Continued. And this guy, you know, went to the tenth tree. This old young man was still in the third tree. And so the old man won. Why? Because he was sharpening his axe every time. Okay? So, what I'm telling you, that as we sharpen our, every time we sharpen our edge, we sharpen with the word of God. Every time we're in the word of God, learn the word of God, we get more revelation. And we can do more for God. And also we can stand firm, because now the word of God, you know, is a light. It's a lamp. So we can learn as we go along. Praise the Lord. Are you on the race? Let me ask you. Are you on the race? If yes, are you striving to reach the finished line? Remember that the goal is finishing the race. And this needs perseverance. It's my prayer today that God gives us the wisdom, the knowledge that will make us reach the finish line. There is no way we can reach the finish line if we don't adhere to what God has said in His word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you this afternoon. This morning you talked to us about finishing the race well. Paul is our example. And we want to emulate your word, Lord. The way other people finish the race well. Help us. Help us. Holy Spirit, guide us. Teach us. Show us. Lead us into the truth. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for Pastor Phil, his wife, and the elders and all the leaders of this church. I know, God, you're using them to reach not only the community, but even to reach beyond. Help them to always be in a race. Help them, Lord Jesus, that they may always seek your wisdom and revelation so they may get vision to how to continue to do what you have destined them to do. Have your way. Bless the church, O Lord. Bless your people, Lord. Help us all to be not only running the race, but be among those who are going to finish the race. Lord, I bless you. Glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you.
I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare. For clarity, the offering that we're taking today is directly going to the school. We have been so blessed to be able to be a part of teaching the students. And like Pastor Lazaro was saying, they live in a day and age when they're training up pastors, and there's some people that don't necessarily want that happening. And they've had a few incidences here and there, but what they're doing is they're in the midst of constructing a wall that is just bringing a little bit added security to the campus. The campus, when we were there, has a really tight hedgerow, and in some sections of the hedgerow there's metal fencing, but even animals would be able to pass through at different times and get through there, and so they're just bringing some added security to it. Also for training the pastors, there's some that come from a long ways off, and there's not very much that they're often able to do for them, but we want to make sure that they're able to provide housing and food for these pastors as they come. And so there are many places where we're able to sow in this school. And as you heard from Pastor Lazaro's testimony, each pastor that comes isn't necessarily just going home and teaching the few people that they have. They're also reaching out into the country. They're literally transforming the communities that they live in. And we want to be a part of the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout Tanzania. And it's an honor to be able to be a part of that. And we thank you, Pastor, for coming and sharing with us today and sharing with us your heart and your vision for your country. And so today we'll be receiving a special offering that'll go directly to the school and for their efforts, for what they're doing. Ushers, if you could come forward. What an amazing opportunity it is to know that not everyone here is able to go get on a plane and go to Tanzania. But we can certainly be a part of the harvest that is going out from that school. And that's what we want to be able to do today. And we're just so blessed to be able to be a part of that. So, Father, as we give today, we know that as our finances are leaving our hands and going into the caring hands of the leadership of Kilimanjaro Christian College, that, Father, your word is going out, that pastors' lives are being changed. They're being inspired, Lord, to study the word, to know the word, so they can effectively relay the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people around them, that they would be able to know better how to use the word that is in their hand, to use the Bible to minister to those around them. Father, we pray over Pastor Lazaro, his wife Ellie, as they lead this school, that, Father, you would continue to give them the grace to do so. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may wait on the people. And while that's happening, just a few things that we want to bring to your attention before you leave. Again, we want to invite everyone to the Christmas Eve service that's next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We're really looking forward to sharing that time with you. We also have...